The festival is focusing on another incarnation of God, another incarnation of Lord Krishna, that is the Lord as Jagannath. Jagannath means the Lord of the universe. So that is a very grand form, very grand feature of the Lord when he is manifesting himself as the Lord of the whole universe. So this is our Jagannath Rath Yatra festival, and whereas yesterday we were focusing on that other form, that most recent form of God, of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, for the rest of the festival now, we'll be focusing on Lord Jagannath. And Jagannath, Krishna, when he appears as Jagannath, he does not appear on his own. He appears with his first expansion. That is Lord Balaram. Just like you know, we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that Krishna, of course, we know, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore we chant, Hare Krishna, but then we chant, Hare Rama. So, who is that Rama? Who is that Ram? Well, actually, there are three forms, three incarnations of God who have the name Ram. First of all, there's Lord Ramachandra. We are all probably familiar with the Lord in his incarnation as Lord Ramachandra. He is the husband of Sita, and she was kidnapped, but he rescued her and killed the people who had kidnapped her. That's a very dramatic story, and I think most of you would be familiar with that. So that is Lord Ramachandra. The Supreme Lord is appearing in that form. So he is also called Ram. So we said, though, that there are three forms. The second is a form known as Parasuram. Parasuram. He is famous as the wielder of the axe. That is a long story, but let us say at least that there is this other form, other incarnation. His name is Parasuram, so he can also be referred to as Ram. Then we just mentioned now that in this festival we're worshipping Krishna as Jagannath, and as Jagannath he appears with his first expansion, Balaram. So, Balaram, he is also known as Ram. Balaram. So therefore, there are three forms of the Lord to whom this name Ram can be applied. And there is no real problem if someone says, no, I think it's refers, when we chant Hari Rama, it refers to Lord Ramachandra. So we say that's fine. If someone else says that when we chant Hari Rama, we are referring to Lord Balaram, then we also say that's fine. There's no difference. So in this festival then, we're worshipping Lord Jagannath, Krishna, appearing as Jagannath, the Lord of the universe, along with his first expansion, Balaram. They were on the chariot. If you were watching during the procession, you would have seen them there. Jagannath was the black figure. When you're looking back at the chariot, he was on your right. And Lord Balaram, he is white, and he was on your left-hand side. The temple tent is there, the first tent just after this tent, and the deities are there. You can go and see them and know who is who there. So, Jagannath then, Krishna, is there with Balaram, his first expansion. Actually, there is no real difference between Jagannath, between Krishna, and his first expansion, Balaram. The thing is that God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he has many different aspects to his personality. Just like us, we all have our personalities, and there are different aspects. Just like when you go to work, then you function in a certain way. But when you're at home, you function in a different way. It is not that you are functioning in exactly the same ways when you're at work and when you're at home. To give you an example, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, he told us of one experience that he had before he started this movement, going back many years, maybe into the late 50s or the very early 60s, in those days. So Srila Prabhupada at that time was preaching on his own in India. And he would go shop to shop, office to office, meeting people, preaching to them, and trying to get people interested, trying to get people involved in his movement. And particularly he was trying to engage respectable people and people who are well situated socially and so on, important types of people who would give some support. So Srila Prabhupada one day, he paid a call on one High Court judge. High Court judge in his office somewhere at the court. So Srila Prabhupada went and visited the High Court judge during the working hours, during the middle of the day sometime. So the man, of course, he's a High Court judge, he's a big official, very important man. So they met, and it was a very formal type of meeting. The man was being very sort of respectable and so on. So the man told Prabhupada, you know, I'm a bit busy now, but why don't you come and visit me tonight at home? So he gave Srila Prabhupada his address, and they arranged that Prabhupada would go there that evening. So Srila Prabhupada, he went at the correct time. He went and knocked on the door at the man's house, and a servant came and opened the door and said, oh yes, you have an appointment, come in. And he got Prabhupada to sit down, and he said, just wait, the Mr. such and such, the judge, he'll be with you shortly. So now Prabhupada is waiting in some little reception room there in the house, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. Prabhupada waited about maybe half an hour. And he was wondering, what's happening? Is the man trying to avoid me, or what's going on? He's making me wait so long. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting there. As he was sitting there, he heard from one of the adjacent rooms, just next door. Prabhupada heard some noises, like some sort of shuffling sound, like someone is walking, but they're dragging their heels, dragging their feet along the ground as they're walking. So they're making some noise. So he heard that. Plus, he heard a child laughing, giggling and laughing and so on. And this was going on for a little while. So Srila Prabhupada wondered, what is going on here? I'm waiting for this man. In the next room I hear something funny, strange is going on. So what is going on? And Prabhupada opened the door. And what did he see? He saw the High Court judge. Big man, big, important, respectable man in the legal circles. He saw that that judge was in that next room. But what was he doing? That High Court judge was on his hands and knees, crawling on the ground. And he had his grandson on his back. And they were playing horsey or something. And the High Court judge was crawling around with his grandson on his back. That was what that shuffling noise was. And the child was sitting there and laughing. So, the point we're making is that everyone has different aspects to their character and personality. Just like this judge. When he's working, then he conducts himself in one way. But when he is at home, he conducts himself in another way. You can just imagine with his wife. Well, you can just imagine in the court, everyone is saying, Your Honor, bowing down. When he comes in, they have to stand up. When he goes out, they have to stand up. But do you think when he goes to home, when he comes home in the evening, does his wife have to stand up and say, Your Honor? No. Because he's different. When he's at home, he conducts himself in a different way. So like this, with everyone, when we do different things, then our personalities will show themselves in a different way. We dress differently. When you go to work, you dress in one way. At home, you dress in another way. If you go to a party, you dress in another way. If you go out on the weekend to the beach, you dress in another way. You act in another way. So the point we're making, it's a simple point, that our characters, our personalities are multifaceted. And we appear differently, we dress differently, we act differently, we think differently when we are doing these different things, these like different departments of our lives. So now, Krishna, God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also does different things. He also does different things at different times. He also has, you could say, a multifaceted personality. Yes. In fact, because he is God, he has a very multifaceted personality. Oh, there are many different aspects to his nature, to his personality, to his character. So when we are in our different situations, like when we go to work, then we dress differently. For example, when we're at home, we dress differently. And so on and so forth. When we go to the beach, we dress differently. So Krishna, when he is in these different aspects of his lifestyle, he doesn't just dress differently. He manifests completely different forms. Yes. Therefore, Krishna, God, has many unlimited numbers of forms. So one, or at least the original one, that is as Krishna. That is the complete, ultimate form of God. But when Krishna is in a different mood, you probably know Krishna is very playful. He's very playful. But when he's in a different mood, like, for example, when he is in the mood of being the big controller, the supreme controller, controlling the whole universe. So when he is in that mood of being the controller, of being the Lord, he manifests another form and carries out those functions in that form. In fact, he manifests a number of forms in terms of different aspects of this controlling function that he has. Sometimes he's the creator. Sometimes he is the maintainer. So these are two aspects of being the supreme controller. One aspect he's creating, another aspect is he's maintaining. Another aspect is he's destroying. So he appears in different forms. So his first expansion is as Lord Balaram, a completely separate form. But actually it's the same person. Actually it's the same person. But now he is conducting himself somewhat differently. Somewhat differently to the way he conducts himself as Krishna. Yes. Just like Lord Ram, Lord Ramachandra, Sita Ram, Lord Ram, he is a form of Krishna in which Krishna is manifesting his nature of being the king, of being the ruler. Yes. Other forms. Some of you may be familiar with the Supreme Lord in his form as Nrsingadev. We'll be celebrating the appearance day of that form of the Lord in about, I think, a month and a half or thereabouts, something like that, 2 months. We'll be celebrating the appearance day of Lord Nrsingadev. So that is the same Krishna. That is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is in a different mood. What mood is he in? He is in the mood of anger. protecting his devotees from the attacks of the demons. So, he is Lord Nrsimhadev, means Krishna. He is the same Krishna, but he is manifesting particularly his mood of anger. Yes. So there are different forms of the Lord. It is the same person, not two or three or four or whatever number. It is one person, but appearing in different forms in terms of the different aspects of the character, of the personality of God. Yes. So in this festival that we're celebrating here, this Jagannath Rath Yatra festival, we are worshipping Krishna in his form as Jagannath. Then we are worshipping Krishna in his form as Balaram. Then in between them, if you're familiar with them, or you can see in the tent later, next tent, the temple tent, in between them is their sister, Subhadra. Yes, she is the sister of God. So, these three deities are there. We're worshipping these three personalities in this festival. Now, oftentimes people ask us, why do these deities, Jagannath, Balaram, in between them Subhadra, why do they look rather unusual? They don't look exactly human-like. Actually, they look partially human-like, but only partially, that's all. And then the other part, they look different at least, we could say, than what we're used to in terms of human features. Normally, Krishna, or at least often, or normally, he appears in a human-like form. You see that in our temple in Chatsworth. Radha and Krishna are there. Radha, Radhana. And there Krishna is in a very human-like form. A very human-like form. But here, when you see Jagannath and Balaram and Subhadra, you see their forms are only partially human-like. So sometimes people ask, why? Why is that? Well, there are a number of stories behind that. Some very interesting stories. As the festival goes on, we'll tell you these different stories. Right now, I'll tell you one of those stories. How it is that Krishna and Balaram and their sister Subhadra, how it is they appear in these rather unusual looking forms, at least from the human perspective. So this story begins when Lord Krishna was here on this planet 5,000 years ago. He appeared in Vrindavan, that very sacred place. It is still there. It is still there, just south of Delhi, in north central India, up there, in what is now called Uttar Pradesh. So that Vrindavan is there, and there's so many places there still where Krishna performed his pastimes and where those pastimes are commemorated. So now, Krishna, he appeared there. He was there in Vrindavan for some years. maybe 16 or so. And then he left Vrindavan. He went to Mathura for some 20-odd years. Then he went to Dwarka, which is on the coast of India, on the west coast, what is now called Gujarat. So Krishna lived there basically for the rest of the time, most of the time, that he was still here. And he was present on this planet for 125 years. So, a lot of that time then, he spent in Dwarka. Now, when Krishna was there in Vrindavan, he was enjoying the most wonderful pastimes with his most wonderful devotees, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But then suddenly they were separated. For so many years, they were separated. And Krishna went to these other places, ultimately Dwarka. So, Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they always felt the pangs of separation from each other when Krishna left, after Krishna left Vrindavan. And they were all hankering, when can we get together again? Krishna wanted to be with them again. They wanted to be with Krishna again. But for the time being, they couldn't. They were separated. And they were feeling that separation, missing each other so much. Finally, many years later, they met. They met in Kurukshetra, where Krishna, a little later on, spoke Bhagavad Gita. But this is a little before that. They met again, Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So it was a very emotional reunion. We can imagine, perhaps just a little, a very touching scene. After so many years of separation, now they're reunited. So it was very wonderful. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they wanted Krishna to come back. But the inhabitants of Dwarka, where Krishna was living now, they didn't want Krishna to go back to Vrindavan. Because that would have meant that Krishna would have left Dwarka, would have left them, and then they would be in separation from Krishna. They would be missing Krishna. So they didn't want Krishna to go. Therefore, very cleverly, they tried to keep Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They tried to keep them separate, so that Krishna would not be reminded that maybe now I should go back to Vrindavan. They tried to keep them separate. And they didn't want Krishna to start thinking too much what it was like in Vrindavan, because it was so wonderful. They knew if Krishna started to think, to remember what it was like in Vrindavan, then he would leave Dwarka, he would go to Vrindavan, they would lose him. So they tried to sort of keep Krishna and the inhabitants of Vrindavan separate and, you know, sort of diplomatically like that. Now, one day, the inhabitants of Dwarka, they were asking each other that what was it like when Krishna was in Vrindavan? It must have been very amazing. Here we are, we're trying to keep him separate from these people because we're afraid he's just going to run away and join them again and leave us. So it must have been very amazing there, all the things that Krishna did in Vrindavan. Must be very wonderful. And they were wondering, what was it really like? What really happened there? Because Krishna comes and hears all about Vrindavan, because then it'll remind him, and then he's going to run off to Vrindavan. So they went and hid secretly, and Rohini was explaining about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. However, Krishna, he started to wonder, where has everyone gone? Where are all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, of Dwarka? They've disappeared. So Krishna started looking around and he found them hiding. And he could see Rohini was telling them so many things. So Krishna sneaked up and from a hiding place, he listened to what Rohini was explaining about his Vrindavan pastimes. So as Krishna was there, listening and listening to his own Vrindavan pastimes, he became struck. Oh, that was very wonderful. That was very amazing. What I experienced in Vrindavan, he became reminded. The memories just flooded into his mind. What it was like in Vrindavan. And he became so astonished that bodily transformations took place. His legs, his two legs, retracted completely into his body. Amazing. His arms partially retracted into his body. And his face, he was so excited. He was so ecstatic hearing his own Vrindavan pastimes. His face, he became so overwhelmed. His eyes became big and round. And he had a big smile. Suddenly, the inhabitants, or suddenly, Lord Balaram came in a regular, human-like form. He was also wondering, where's everyone gone? So Balaram came, and he saw, there's Rohini and the inhabitants of Dwarka. They're talking about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Then he saw Krishna in this form with his legs retracted, with his arms partially retracted, with his big excited eyes, his big smile. So Lord Balaram, he was astonished. He sat down and he listened. And he heard all about those Vrindavan pastimes. And he also became overwhelmed. And the same things happened to him. His legs retracted. His arms retracted. Big smile. And then their sister Subhadra came. And she also listened. And the same thing happened to her. Except her legs retracted. And her arms completely retracted. So then, after Rohini finished talking, the inhabitants of Dwarka came out and they saw, oh, look at Krishna. What has happened? Look at Balaram. Look at Subhadra. How amazing. So, these forms, when Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra are in this mood, they're in Dwarka. But they're in this mood of the ecstasy of Vrindavan. Then they manifest these forms. So these forms are taken, accepted as being very important forms. Very important forms. And the devotees are very fond of these forms of the Lord. Krishna, Jagannath, and Balaram, and Subhadra, in that ecstatic mood, very happy, very blissful mood. So this festival then is celebrating that. It is celebrating that. Now there is more to it than that also, as we said, and we'll explain about that at some other time. But this is one part of the understanding. Why we have this festival. Why in this festival we are worshipping Krishna in these rather unusual forms. Yes, this is one part of the understanding, one part of the background to this Jagannath Rath Yatra festival. So we thank you all very much for participating. This is the second day. There'll be another 2 days, Sunday and Monday. Will also be full-scale festival days here at our festival site. Thank you for coming. Please come tomorrow. Go and visit all the different places. The temple tent we mentioned. The multimedia tent. Questions and answers. Prasadam, gifts, so on and so forth. So many features are there. Please, take advantage. As you can see, we've gone to quite some effort and even some expense to put this together. You know how much it costs to put this together, this festival? Before we started it. Getting all the everything together and feeding 100,000 people. We've already fed, I don't know if you're aware, we've already fed 50,000 people yesterday and today, so far. And we expect another 50 tomorrow and Monday. So you know how much it costs